In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
I am Mark Anderson, and I'm honored to be your host on the iSpy Radio Show. Today's show is all about the left's hypocrisy and double standards. Things like Hillary Clinton knowingly ignoring existing laws, mishandling over 1,000 classified emails, using a private server that was hacked, and which led to other government servers being hacked as well. Hillary gets off with no punishment whatsoever. Meanwhile, a Navy sailor who took 6 pictures, which were never given to WikiLeaks or the Russians or anyone else, was sent to jail. Things like how Madonna and Ashley Judd spew vile hate, but are embraced in Hollywood. Or how the director of the Avengers movie enlisted his actors to scare gullible voters by calling Trump a danger to America. But if you're an actor and so much as sent out a tweet in favor of President Trump, your fellow actors unleash the dogs of hate against you. On the one hand, it's good to have the left spew hate because it reveals who they really are. But on the other hand, it does damage because it encourages other people to spew their own hate or give them permission to take worse actions, like riots, not peaceful demonstrations, riots we've seen all across the country, including right here in Portland, riots that have caused millions of dollars in damage and worse, smother free speech because it makes other people afraid to express their opinion. On today's show, we'll talk with Kathleen Saucier, the mother of that Navy sailor. We'll then talk with his attorney, Jeffrey Atticott, about Christian's case and some broader issues. And then we'll wrap things up with James Herson of Headline Hollywood. Stick with us as we expose the tolerant left's intolerance of anything they don't agree with. I'd like to welcome now Kathleen Saucier. She is the mother of machinist mate first class Christian Saucier, who was charged with using his cell phone to take photos while aboard the attack submarine Alexandria. And Kathleen, it's an honor to talk to you.
Yes, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to come on your show and speak out and raise awareness about our case as well as double standards.
Yes, and that really is the focus of today's show is double standards. And what a huge double standard. So for people who aren't familiar with your son's case, just to kind of give an overview, he took some photos of various areas on that submarine. There was some control panels that got into the photos. There was also pictures of the reactor and I think one particular screen that showed the location of the sub. And as most people could imagine, this is rather classified and sensitive pictures that you wouldn't want out there. Now, he never shared those with anybody, correct?
Correct. And I think I want to clarify one thing. So it was the lowest level of classification, and all the photos that he took were in his duty area, his workstation. So where someone that's a sonar tech might want to take photos of where they worked on by the sonar equipment, mm-hmm. my son worked in the machinist area, or he was a machinist mate. He worked in the engine room. And the part that the FBI stated was that it showed the location of the sub. The sub was sitting in its port in Groton at the time. It was not a classified location.
I see. Now, at the time that he took those, was he aware that these would be considered classified or sensitive?
Yes, absolutely. So in 2009, there were no cell phone bans on submarines at that time because it was actually around 2009 that the phone started coming out more with the photo capability for cameras. Cameras were not allowed. They weren't supposed to take photos. They were all very aware of the fact that was classified. They shouldn't have done it. Unfortunately, as I said, there was no cell phone ban. And during that time, we've since become aware, since this case came out, that there were many young men on the submarine, young and old, actually taking photos with their cell phones of the areas that they worked in.
On that same sub?
Absolutely, yes.
Wow.
In fact, 2 of the young men were brought to what's called non-judicial punishment, a captain's mast, and they were reduced to rank and fined $300, $500 and given extra duties during that time.
So why didn't he get that same treatment?
Because his cell phone was lost within a year of that, when that all happened in 2009, and it was found or discovered in the middle of a dump sometime in 2012. And so what happened was when it was found in the dump, a town dump, that's outside the jurisdiction of the Navy. And so at that time, the FBI and the Department of Justice looked at it, said, this is classified information. We're going to make this case. And instead of turning it back over to the Navy, in fact, they did go back to the Navy, and the Navy said they didn't want to prosecute. And basically, they didn't want to prosecute because there were so many young men on that sub taking photos at the time. It would be virtually impossible to go forward with any prosecution on the sub. So, and they'd already reprimanded two sailors on that sub. So the Department of Justice and the FBI chose to continue the case and create, and I believe you're going to have Professor Atticott on after me to discuss that aspect, the legal aspects, a little bit more. So, you know, I'm going to let him explain that. So that happened, and flash forward to now, my son accepted responsibility, 6 photos on his cell phone. He accepted that he took them, and he's sentenced to 1 year in federal prison. Because he's accepted responsibility and for the 6 photos, he was charged with a felony charge. And so he was then discharged from the Navy after 11 years with another than honorable discharge, losing all his medical and his disability benefits.
Well, that's hard to hear, especially when you hear that Chelsea Manning just got pardoned by the outgoing President Obama. And he did far more damage than just having 6 pictures on his cell phone. But let me take you back to last year, July 5th, the day after the 4th of July, a day that our country celebrates our freedom, a date that is near and dear to the heart of everyone in the military. Your son hasn't been sentenced at this point. And then July 5th, James Comey comes out and announces no charges for Hillary. So what's going through your mind right then when you hear that?
I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. I, you know, part of what Comey stated, and I thought that this was for us a wonderful thing, was that Hillary Clinton clearly had no intent to harm anyone. When in fact, the judge stated that my son had no intent either, that he only had an intent to take photos for memorabilia. There was no intent to transmit them. There was no evidence of transmitting them. And he had no, so I'm thinking to myself, if she can get excused for thousands of emails at high levels of classification, some of them, because she didn't have any intent, so there was no reasonable prosecutor that would take it, then how could this possibly happen to my son? And I'll be honest, I thought, when he said that, I thought, okay, this is something great for our case. There should be, something should happen here, you know?
But then later when you found out that your son was not going to get that same sort of clemency, what's going through your mind then?
At that point, I decided I was going to start speaking out in the media. I myself had been a federal employee, so I had a lot of threats and intimidation by the FBI prior to my son choosing to take the plea. And I made a decision to resign my position so I could speak out, because if I was a federal employee, I couldn't go on the media. I couldn't talk about political aspects. So I resigned my position in August, and in August, I started going on the media, on Fox News and any media that would listen to me, and talk about what I said was a clear double standard.
Yes.
I challenged Hillary Clinton to have me at a debate, and I wanted to look her in the eyes as she explained to the American people how she could be held to a different standard than my son and other average Americans.
Yeah, and I don't imagine she took you up on that.
No, she did not.
Yeah.
But what I did notice is the first 2 debates, she admitted that she made a mistake by having a server in her private server in her home, and yet she accepts responsibility. I made a mistake, now let me run for president. Here my son says, I took 6 photos, they were on an insecure device, I never transmitted them, I never wanted to harm anyone, and he's going to federal prison. So again, it just gave me more fuel for my fire, and I spoke out again and continue to speak out about it.
Well, we're going to certainly hope that your son gets a break here from the new president, and we'll keep him in our prayers for sure. Kathleen, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much. And as I said again, please do pray for us. I mean, recognize the fact my son, I believe, is a true patriot. He made a poor choice at the age of 22, and it was a dangerous choice, and he shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
But I don't believe he should be sitting in federal prison. I believe there's a clear double standard.
Okay.
Thank you so much. God bless.
All right. Thank you. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Christian's attorney. Stay with us. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. We just finished with Kathleen Saucier. She is the mother of Christian Saucier, the Navy sailor who was jailed for having 6 pictures of sensitive areas of a submarine on his cell phone. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton gets off scot-free for mishandling hundreds of classified emails. We're going to talk now to Christian's attorney, Jeffrey Atticott, who is a retired lieutenant colonel and now a law professor at St. Mary's University School of Law in San Antonio, Texas. He is an internationally recognized authority on national security law, terrorism law, and human rights. Professor Atticott, welcome to the show.
Oh, my pleasure.
So on Fox News, there was an article just out on Wednesday about Christian's case, and he is asking for a pardon from President Donald Trump, who as a candidate often cited his case as being unjust, especially when compared to Hillary. Is there much chance of a pardon, you think?
There should be. I mean, justice means you get what you deserve, and that's what we're seeking. We're not saying that Christian didn't engage in misconduct. He did, but the punishment was grossly disproportionate to what he did with those six photographs, and that's what we're seeking is justice, and justice requires that he be immediately released from the penitentiary and, in my opinion, reinstated back into, if he wishes to go back into the Navy, because other sailors that did the same thing he did were not discharged from the Navy. They were not sent to a penitentiary. They received what we call non-judicial punishment. So many people make an analysis between, or analogy between Clinton and Christian Saussure. I like to make the analogy between Christian and other sailors on the same submarine and what happened to them, which basically is a slap on the wrist, and he was incarcerated for 1 year and lost everything.
Yes. So why do you suspect they got that slap on the wrist and he did not?
Timing is everything. And unfortunately, he had the misfortune to be caught in the perfect storm, because his case came to light at about the same time, it reached a boiling point, at the same time that Hillary Clinton's case was developing in the media, and the Department of Justice, we all remember that, and the FBI were getting a lot of criticism for giving Hillary a pass. Everybody knew that Janet Lynch, Loretta Lynch, rather, at the Department of Justice was politically motivated. I mean, she met with Bill Clinton on an airplane before the decision was announced by the FBI. And so the FBI and the Department of Justice decided to show the world that they were serious about classified information and the mishandling of classified information. And who do we have in the chute, as we say in Texas here in the rodeo? Oh, here's Christian Saussure. Let's pull that case and let's prosecute him to the full extent of federal law, and that's what they did.
Well, and that does seem especially harsh, given that juxtaposition. In fact, when I first heard about that is because his lawyers at the time, and I don't think it was you, but I think it was another attorney, made, in fact, that argument that, you know, you've got Hillary leaking, essentially, you know, because she was so careless with the emails. She essentially leaked hundreds of classified documents, which were marked at the time as being classified or sensitive. And meanwhile, you've got this lowly little Navy sailor who has six pictures on his cell phone, which were never leaked to anybody. They just found it in a dump or something.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the case started in 2009 when he took the photographs, never transferred them or transmitted them to anybody. He went through a nasty divorce. I suspect that the ex-wife is the one that found the photos on the phone, because they're very innocuous. Nobody's going to know what, you know, pictures of a look like a you know, a washing machine is, or whatever it is. In fact, Fox News didn't even put the photos on the screen. And everything on the submarine is classified, even a cup of coffee, if you take a picture of a cup of coffee. And so, yeah, his family hired some civilian attorneys to represent him in his federal trial, and they pled him guilty. And then he had a Navy JAG, a judge advocate, that represented him at his administrative discharge hearing. I became involved in the case right before Christmas, after he was already confined, already convicted, already discharged from the military, and my assistance is related directly to filing the petitions for clemency and for a pardon. I flew on January the 3rd to meet with him, explain to him what these petitions were, and then I filed those in Washington, D.C. with the Office of the Pardon Attorney. So I'm a little late to the game, but his original attorneys, of course, are gone, and so that's what we're seeking for right now.
Well, and let's hope that you get it, because, as we said, you know, Hillary has certainly got off doing a whole lot worse, and also Chelsea Manning was just pardoned, and that led to some actual deaths of people that were identified in those leaked materials. You're quoted in a Daily Mail article saying, quote, "The reason this case cries out for clemency and for pardon is just the gross injustice. This is a matter of justice, and justice isn't about whether you're guilty or not." He's admitted that. It's about the punishment as well. So let me play devil's advocate. Would clemency in this case mean that every soldier who accidentally or not takes photos of sensitive issues should also be excused?
No, they should be punished. And again, we never said he shouldn't be punished. The two other sailors in 2011 that did the same thing on the same ship, they were punished, but at a much lower level for the infractions that they committed. And oh, by the way, the Navy allowed cell phones to be brought on board submarines, knowing full well that you could take photographs with your cell phones They didn't stop that practice until a few years ago. So the Navy is partially responsible for, you know, putting that temptation in front of people to take selfies or whatever they're doing. No, he should be punished, and everybody that violates the law should be punished. But the punishment has to meet the crime. In this case, it doesn't.
So, and I agree with you on that. And if it's not just about guilt but about punishment, that then begs the question, what kind of punishment should have been given to Hillary?
Well, yeah, in my opinion, Hillary should have been charged with a whole variety of federal crimes. She violated intentionally, in my opinion, but even if it's negligent, she's guilty of federal crimes associated with her mishandling of classified information from A to Z. Plus, you know, she, in my opinion, she lied to federal officials about, oh, I can't remember, and all these other, that's a 5-year felony right there. So, yeah, it's clear, and I think the American people understand that she lied, she covered up, she did a lot of inappropriate things, and nothing, zero happened to her, not even a slap on the wrist, nothing.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, it sounded for a second there like the police were going after her just then. So, all right. Let's go ahead and take a break there. We'll have lots more with Jeffrey Adicott. He is the attorney for Christian Saucier. Stay with us. And welcome back to I Spy Radio Show. We're talking now to Christian Saucier's attorney. Christian is the Navy sailor that was arrested for having some classified photos on his phone. Jeffrey Adicott is a professor at the St. Mary's University School of Law, and he's also a retired lieutenant colonel. And, you know, we were talking about Hillary there in that last segment, and I think you said that it was something like 5 years is what she should have gotten for mishandling that classified information. Is that correct?
Yeah, when you're being questioned by FBI agents, if you lie to them, that's 5 years right there. And she was questioned by federal officials, and her response, of course, was the convenient, I don't remember, I don't recall.
Yes, yeah, she's been using that one since the 90s.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a variety of crimes that she committed, in my opinion. Now, you know, that's whether President Trump will pursue that, you know, is an unknown factor. But clearly, the reason that Chris was crucified was because of the Hillary Clinton issue, which was coming to the forefront at that time, and the Department of Justice is being criticized for not taking classified information seriously. So they had to find a scapegoat, and they found him. That's the impact that he had, that she had, rather, on his case.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you on that one. If you had to give it a percentage chance, what do you think is the chance that the Trump administration would pursue Hillary?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, you know, what you say on the campaign trail, what you do, are two different stories. So I'd like to see, you know, the investigation continue, particularly into the Clinton Foundation,
yes,
and whether
yes.
there's a quid pro quo for meeting with Hillary and then getting payments into the foundation. So, you know, it's up to the president what he wants to do with that. With Chris's case, I want this thing fast-tracked because once you file these petitions, which I have, it can take months, if not years, for them to process it through their bureaucracy and to go on and on and on. We need the president or somebody on the president's team to pick up the phone and tell the pardon attorney, I want a fast track on this. Give me a recommendation. I want it on my desk in 2 weeks, and it can be done. That's what we're seeking.
Yeah. So if he does get a pardon, does that open the door for him to be able to go back into the Navy?
Yes. He'll clemency is where they release you from jail, and a pardon is where all the offenses that you committed are washed away. And we could make an application for him to go back into the Navy.
Well, that would be pretty awesome, and we will keep our fingers crossed that that does in fact happen. So you're also an expert on national security and terrorism laws, and so we'd like to pick your brain on those issues while we have you. Judicial Watch has said that back in the spring of 2015 that they have proof of terrorist camps operating here on the U.S. soil. We have also interviewed Kamal Saleem. He is a former jihadist. Who also confirmed the existence of these camps and that someone in the FBI or Homeland Security must have allowed these camps to operate. According to reports, though, one reason the FBI has done nothing about these camps is that they say that these camps are actually constitutionally protected. So if these camps are actively training to harm and kill Americans, do they have a constitutional right to do so?
That's a good question. And the problem is that in this country, we have freedom of speech and freedom of religion. The jihadists know that, and they hide behind our freedom of speech and freedom of religion. For example, it's not unconstitutional in the First Amendment to say, I love Fidel Castro. I love Osama bin Laden. I think America got what they deserve. I think Sharia law should be the supreme law of the world. And you can make all these statements. You can fire guns on your private property. You can fly the flag of radical Islam. You can quote all the hateful verses in the Quran that talk about killing people and beheading people. That's not illegal. And so many of these camps are financed by a group called Muslims of America, MOA. We have one outside of Houston, Texas, that the FBI knows all about. So what they're doing, firing off weapons, doing military-style training, preaching hate, not illegal. But I always say where there's smoke, there's fire. And obviously that's the fine line that the FBI has to walk. Not illegal to say hateful, hurtful things, to be a member of hate groups, right, left, center, whatever it is. It's only illegal when you conspire to use violence, solicit for violence, or provide material support. And that's why the job of the FBI is very difficult, because you have the right, I have the right to, you know, run up a flag, a Nazi flag on your private property and salute the Führer. I, you know, obviously your neighbors should say you're a nut, but, you know, that's not unconstitutional.
Yeah, but it just seems strange, though, that they have a constitutionally protected right to be actively training how to kill Americans. That just seems a little odd.
Well, they're doing self-defense, but they don't say that. They say, look, we're just training in martial arts and self-defense, and that's not illegal. They can, you know, conduct these things, but what I have a problem with is the political correctness, because imagine the camp outside of Houston no one's ever heard of, but I guarantee you if the KKK bought up 50 acres of land and they're shooting their guns and talking about white supremacy, it would be in the media in Houston every single day. Helicopters would be flying over. There'd be demands that something be done. But in the name of political correctness, nothing's.
But in that same case, though, if there was a KKK camp, would that also be considered constitutionally protected? I mean, if they're training to kill blacks.
Well, again, they don't say we're training to kill blacks. They're saying we're training to engage in self-defense. You know, no one's going to come up and say, hey, we're training for the purpose of, yeah, if they said that, you know, that would be an issue of conspiracy and they'd be charged with conspiracy, but they're not that stupid. And these groups don't say we're training to kill Americans, at least not where it's reported. What they will say when you ask them is, oh, we're just engaging in our constitutional rights to the Second Amendment. As I said, they hide behind the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, and they know how to do that. They know how to play that game very well.
So let's say that some of the participants at these camps are here illegally, looking to kill Americans. Do they have a right under our Constitution to do that?
Well, yeah, that's constitutional law. If you're in this country, then the protections of the Constitution apply to you while you're on the soil. So, yeah, they have the right to remain silent. They have all these rights. You know, part of the solution, obviously, is the FBI needs to investigate these groups. They need to have a watch on these groups. For example, we know that there's radical mosques in this country that preach hate. In New York City, for example, we used to have FBI agents that would sit in the back and listen. But their current mayor, Bellagio, has outlawed that. And it's not illegal, but it is politically incorrect to sit in on these mosques that preach jihad because you're somehow chilling them.
Wow.
In France, they're closing down mosques.
Yeah, it would be nice to close those ones down. Okay, everyone stay with us. We'll be right back with Jeffrey Etiquette. He is the attorney for Christian Saucier, that Navy sailor that was arrested for having classified photos on his phone. Stay with us. And welcome back to the Aspire Radio Show. I'm your host, Mark Anderson. I'm talking today to Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Etiquette. He is also the attorney for Christian Saucier, the young man who was convicted and jailed for taking sensitive photos while serving aboard a Navy sub, convicted despite the fact that Hillary mishandled thousands of classified documents and received no punishment whatsoever. As we mentioned in last segment there, you're also an expert on national security and terrorism laws, and we've been talking about border issues and these training camps, these terrorist training camps operating here within the United States, amazingly enough, with the full protection of the Constitution. And during the break, though, we were talking just a little bit about the injustice of all of this. It really does seem like there are groups of people that get extra protections versus everybody else. And whether you're looking at Hillary, whether you're looking at Muslims, whether you're looking at various racial minorities, you know, and we mentioned the fact that if there's a KKK camp, they'd be all over this. But instead, we just have these pockets of injustice. And you also mentioned something interesting, is that we really need to start screening people coming into this country and ask them whether or not they believe in Sharia law, which is against the Constitution. But can we do that? I mean, how can you screen out those people and that not be unconstitutional?
Well, first of all, there's no right for any human being to come into our country. We don't have to open up the doors and let anybody in here if we don't want to.
That's right.
I know we have the motto, you know, the Statue of Liberty, give us, you're tired, you're poor, you're hungry. Yeah, I got news for you, folks. That position is taken already. We have enough tired, poor, and hungry in our society right now. We really don't need any more. Thank you very much. So I would have a merit-based system to allow people to come into the country. But anyone that pledges allegiance to Sharia law, to me, that's a disqualifier, because Sharia law is incompatible with our Bill of Rights. And that's just the way it is. It's not just an alternate lifestyle, and you've got your belief, I got my belief. If you just Google Saudi Arabia and look at how people live over there under Sharia law, you will see that it is a tyranny. It's extremely oppressive, particularly if you happen to be a female. The European Courts of Human Rights, which is the number one international court in the world, they ruled in the Rafi case a few years ago that Sharia law is incompatible with freedom. They're mutually exclusive. So, yes, I would screen everyone with the first criteria is, what's your position on Sharia law? Do you think it supplants or is supreme to U.S. law or our Bill of Rights? If the answer is yes, guess what? Your ticket is canceled. You don't get to come in here under any circumstance.
But then we have a problem with them just flat out lying about that and saying, oh, no, Constitution is great. And I'm sure it wouldn't take long when some of those that say they believe in the supremacy of Sharia law, they're going to pass it along to everybody else. I mean, when they get kicked out, they'll say, hey, don't say that. So then how do you handle that?
Well, we have screeners we use Muslims in this country that are screeners, and they know the code words. They know these things. We look at their Facebook accounts, these people. The woman and the couple in San Bernardino, they were posting hateful Islamic jihadist Facebook material on their Facebook. But somehow it's politically incorrect to look at Facebooks of these people that are not U.S. citizens. It's insanity. And luckily, with Donald Trump, this political correctness, we've got a pushback now on this nonsense that, you know, political correctness is going to rule the rule of law. It's the rule of law. And whatever you say about Donald Trump, he is a nationalist. In other words, what's good for America is your first question. And it's not good for America to have people that pledge allegiance to Sharia law and want Sharia law to overthrow our Constitution, to be in this country. If we're already here as U.S. citizens, yeah, there's not much we can do. But let's not let any more in.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned merit-based, and I think it seems to me, anyway, that we used to have that as part of our immigration, allowing people in. I mean, you had to either know somebody or you had to show that you were not going to immediately go on what was then a kind of a quasi-Social Security, that they did have some supports for the poor. Why have we moved away from that?
Well, it was. At one time, we did have a merit-based system. And then, you know, the immigration changes in the 70s and 80s, a lot of people that embraced multiculturalism, they said, you know, this is not fair. We need to have X amount of people with a particular pigment on their skin or a particular language from a particular part of the world. Not enough of them are coming. So therefore, we're going to make it based on these characteristics and not on a merit-based system. So it's multiculturalism. It's all that nonsense that we've been living with for the last 8 years under the Obama administration, in my opinion. You know, I don't look at people's color of their skin. Liberals, they fixate over the color of someone's skin. I treat all Americans as equal. I treat people as equal. And I look at people on a merit-based system. Isn't that the words of Martin Luther King? We judge you according to what? The content of your character, not the pigment of your skin.
That's right. That's right. So President Trump just signed an executive order issuing a temporary ban for people coming from terrorist nations. I'm assuming that you would foresee some sort of activist group immediately suing the government to try to stop that.
Yeah, they can sue all they want to, but there's nothing illegal about it. You're going to see a lot of lawsuits against President Trump and his policies. They're going to fight him every inch of the way. But I certainly believe once you see the economy coming back and jobs coming back, we've already seen a taste of it, that the average American will say, thank you, President Donald J. Trump.
Oh, absolutely. And you were on the Joe Pags show after the Ohio State ISIS attack, and you said this: we need to bomb them out of existence. Under the rule of law, of course. We'll follow the law of war, but we need to kill them. That's how you win, and that's how you uninspire these people that are so inspired by ISIS. We rub them off the face of the earth, as we did with the Nazis. You know, I'm having a hard time getting a vibe on how you really feel about ISIS. I mean, how are things looking with this new president? Do you think we will, in fact, do that, bomb them out of existence?
Yes. I mean, the Obama strategy was to you know, what I call the bee around the beehive. He's killing a bee here, a bee there with drone strikes, our Air Force. You need to crush the beehive.
That's right.
And Donald Trump has said, I'm going to crush the beehive. He didn't say those words, but that's what he means to do. He's going to increase our military strength and the use of our military tenfold over what President Obama did. He's not concerned about finding the needle in the haystack. He's going to burn the frickin' haystack down. And that's how you uninspire all these jihadists in this country and in Europe and everywhere else, because the reason we're seeing such an uptick of jihadi attacks in this country and other countries around the world is because they were inspired by ISIS. And once you crush ISIS and obliterate them, they will no longer be inspired, and they'll go back into their holes where they came from.
That's right. That is absolutely right. Peace through strength. Jeffrey Adicott, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Anytime.
And welcome back. We've been talking about the hypocrisy of the left, and of course, Hollywood is the epicenter of all that. I'd like to welcome James Herson back to the show. He is the author of the New York Times bestselling book, Tales from the Left Coast, and author of the Left Coast Report, Headline Hollywood, and others, all of which can be found on jamesherson.com. James, it's good to talk to you again.
Oh, good to be with you.
Yeah, you know, there is a lot of hysteria coming out of Hollywood ever since pretty much Trump announced his run. But, of course, now that he is actually president and they can't do a whole lot about that, they seem to get even more hysterical. I mean, it's gotten so bad that, you know, we're even questioning whether or not I want to go see an Avengers movie because, you know, the director there put that little spiel together. He had some of the actors from the Avengers, you know, come out and criticize Trump and that they just couldn't see him as president and so on. And it's gotten so distasteful that it really makes it hard to even want to go see these movies.
Well, that's the risk that celebrities take when they speak out about anything controversial. Samuel L. Goldwyn, one of the founding fathers of Hollywood, is famously known for getting a bunch of filmmakers together and telling them if they want to send a message, to use a telegram. That was his quote. And, of course, that was the technology of the time, meaning don't put your messages in the movies and don't go out and speak your mind on messages. And in the old studio system, actors were contracted. It was a breach of their contract to talk about controversial political issues. But, of course, those were the old days. What has happened here is that people in Hollywood, not known for having logic as part of their mental capacity, have abandoned not only logic and reason, but sanity. We see people acting insane. Madonna's under investigation by the Secret Service. Shia LaBeouf has been arrested in New York, all part of this meltdown. And part of the meltdown has to do with a bit of ignorance and not understanding what's going on. But another part of it permeates the mainstream media, the Democrat Party, the establishment of both parties, where when Donald Trump announced as a candidate, they didn't take him seriously. The New York Daily News depicted him as a clown. And when he got the nomination, they still didn't take him seriously. And they tried to depict him as a con artist who didn't mean what he said. When he won, the left tried everything they could to delegitimize him, to undermine the election, to influence members of the Electoral College, to recount the votes. I mean, we don't have to go through it all in a spirit of denial. Now that he is fulfilling his promises, they have lost their minds collectively. And the irony is they are hurting their brand. They're hurting the Hollywood entertainment industry, and they're helping reassure that the same kind of Democratic bloodbath that took place in this last election will continue in 2018, and that Donald Trump will be a two-term president. That's what they're creating. It's really ironic.
Oh, and I absolutely agree with that because, I mean, if you just think of messaging, you know, where a lot of times companies are trying to sell products, and so they hold kind of one up and then hold up their own, and so you can really contrast and compare. I mean, what an example of that over Inauguration Weekend where we had the kind of the pomp and circumstance of, you know, just the traditions and the balls and all of the elegance. And meanwhile, on the other side, you've got basically terrorism in the street where these people are wearing masks and they're burning things. And then, the next couple of days there, you've got the Women's March and all the hate being spewed there. What a huge contrast that is.
No, it truly is. And it's the triumph of pragmatism. Because while this is all going on, We see a president demonstrating a work ethic unlike anything we've seen, certainly in 8 years, maybe longer, and fulfilling promise after promise after promise, making huge changes in governance, and ignoring all of this propaganda, just like he did throughout the campaign, I mean, for the last year and a half. And something has happened to the American public where, despite an onslaught of propaganda, the mainstream media and Hollywood working in tandem for about a year and a half, essentially not just biased reporting, but fake news on behalf of institutions that were associated with credibility, institutions like the New York Times, which continues to indulge in absolutely bogus reporting, not labeled as opinion, but is worse than opinion.
Yes.
And yet, just like they did in the UK in the Brexit vote, the American public saw through it. So something has happened to the American public where the propaganda doesn't work in the same way it used to. But beware, because entertainment propaganda has power over time. Look at the changes that occurred in terms of social morality that was based on suggestions in the content of sitcoms, dramas, movies, music.
Yes.
And that war is going to be continually going to be fought. And I want to warn people about it. One of my recent columns, I'm writing about what's happened with late night comedians. You know, we no longer have the age of Johnny Carson or Jay Leno or even David Letterman.
No,
we have uniform far left wing propagandists posing as late night hosts.
Yes.
Someone like Seth Meyers, Stephen Colbert, they're not funny. They're not imaginative. I mean, how many Putin jokes and small hand jokes can you have? But what they do can be effective. And the perfect example is Saturday Night Live, which I still consider late night. You know, the quote that is most associated with the former candidate, former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, is the quote, "I can see Russia from my house," that she never said.
No, but everybody ended up believing that. Yeah.
But they ended up believing it because they pounded it with Tina Fey. They're trying to do that with Donald Trump and the dossier and via Alec Baldwin. But what the latest thing really troubles me, because they've created a Kellyanne Conway character. Kate McKinnon, the talented woman who played Hillary Clinton, is now portraying Kellyanne Conway. This character is not going away. And what they're going to try to do is they've created a caricature that is basically a sociopathic liar who just wants fame.
And they did it
in the form of a musical. Well, that's the kind of thing that we have to be aware of, because it can stick with certain people, especially young people who get their information from these shows.
Yes.
And that's going to continue. I think this battle has only just begun. I hope there's more Ashley Judd poetry, because that ends up helping, you know, the Trump campaign.
Yeah.
But I worry about the content. I worry about that.
Yeah, and rightfully so. All right, everyone, stay with us. We'll have more James Hurston after this. And welcome back to the I Spy Radio Show, and our final segment now, talking to James Hurston. He is author of the New York Times bestselling book, Tales from the Left Coast, and also the force behind Headline Hollywood, Left Coast Report, and a whole bunch of others, which can all be found on jameshurston.com. And, you know, we were talking in that last break segment there about the hypocrisy of the left, and also the concerns about how it infuses itself into culture and whatnot. In terms of the American public looking at this, do you think that people like Ashley Judd, Madonna, and these actors from the Avengers movies and whatnot, all making these very public decrials of Trump, do you think they're going to start facing any kind of backlash?
Oh, I think they have, and I will. You know, a perfect example of how it can occur happened in the NFL when Colin Kaepernick took a knee to protest during the national anthem. The NFL ratings went down.
Yeah, 8%.
People started to boycott the NFL. It was all over the social media. People were upset at it. And I think this is even worse. I think, you know, individually, people like an Ashley Judd, who's on the tail end of her career, let's face it. But it gets to a point where a star is a product that has what's known in business as a secondary meaning. Mm. You know, like the name Apple. The secondary meaning, of course, are their products, because the first meaning is the fruit, apple. So Ashley Judd takes on a secondary meaning where people who, say, are watching a movie, they see her come on, and they can't help but think of her inane rants, and all of a sudden they say, I can't watch this movie. I mean, that happened to me personally with Barbara Streisand years ago. Barbara Streisand is a very talented singer, but I can't listen to her without my mind thinking about, you know, some of the left-wing craziness that she spouted. And so I don't want to hear her voice anymore. And I think people are getting that way about generic Hollywood. I can't tell you how many people have told me, I want to find an alternative form of media. I want to carefully pick what places I put my hard-earned cash in to buy tickets. And so, for example, is Beyonce going to face a backlash? I think she is. I think she already has. I think that there are people where you can't separate their talent from their politics anymore. And then you say, I'm tuning them out.
Yeah, well, and you certainly see that with Meryl Streep as well. I mean, I've stopped wanting to go to any of her movies as well. You were talking, too, about the content of sitcom and the influence on culture. And now you just mentioned that it kind of makes one, you know, looking at some of these stars, it makes you want to find an alternative form of media. Does that mean that it opens a door to some more conservative media?
Oh, it does. And it's already proven itself, particularly Christian films, faith, so-called faith films. People hunger for those. And they have the huge profit margin, to the point where the major studios are now engaged in part of that business. And look, we're talking about an industry that with the executive class, the people I deal with in Hollywood, they know the success of Duck Dynasty. They understand the audience that it appealed to and how successful it was. You know, they have to turn out product. And then, of course, there's a healthy independent world now of media. I would just want to go back to something, though. Here's another example of how the people can speak very powerfully. You know, Megyn Kelly was a controversial figure at Fox News, partially because she had an ongoing feud with then-candidate Trump. Mm-hmm. And her program appeared to be dedicated for a period of time to Trump bashing. Yes. and guests that would bash Trump. And Megyn Kelly left Fox News, and now Tucker Carlson has replaced her and doubled her ratings.
Yes.
That is a big statement right there. Double? And and God bless Tucker, he's very talented, he's raised a great show, but part of the reason he doubled the ratings is because she's not there.
That's right, yeah.
And so the public will speak in the free market, and I think there are segments of Hollywood that are going to suffer mightily because they're brand, and it's going to depend a lot on the Oscars to some extent.
Yes, for
sure. Because if the Oscars are anything like the Golden Globes, I expect Hollywood to have a record bad year.
Well, we can always hope, but unfortunately, we are up against the clock there. So, James, I want to thank you so much for your time.
Well, thanks for having me.
Breaking on Friday morning, news that President Trump is considering a pardon for Christian Saucier. So let's hope that goes through. You know, if you don't want to reward studios that feature hate-filled actors but still want to see a movie while it's in theaters, here's a tip. Don't go to their movies on opening weekend, or even the second or third weekend. To protect studios against flops and bad word of mouth, typical film distributor contracts give 90% of ticket sales to the studios on opening weekend, while the theater only gets 10%. The studio's percentage goes down after each weekend, so by week 3, the studio only gets 60 or 70% of ticket sales, while the local theater gets the remaining 30 or 40%. That way, you support a local business rather than hate-spewing Hollywood. Think about it, and share that little gem, because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a faith
that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.